Sometimes ago, just recently, there was someone came to me, and this person said to me that I feel that I'm really hopeless because this person have lots of anger, have lots of hatred, and they find that, like, you see, why I'm still having all this? And she tried very hard to really work on this, you know, with her anger, with her hate, you know, lots of hatred, you know. And she said that it seems I have no progress, and she tried very hard. And I told her that because you're trying too hard, you've been too hard on yourself. And she's, you know, because I think I noticed that, you know, most people have the underlying tendency to try to suppress, you know, when they have anger, have the hatred, they try to suppress. Or they try to pretend that it's not there or run away, and that they try to get rid of it, and you can't, you know. And the harder you try, the worse, isn't it? That's why she told me that I'm really feel that I'm really hopeless, you know, because she tried so hard, you know, try to meditate, try to do this, and sometimes people say, oh, you do loving kindness, you know, like, you know, it's a very common thing when you talk about someone have lots of anger. Oh, you practice loving kindness, you practice metta. And sometimes it also doesn't work, you know, when you practice metta. You know, because sometimes people use metta as a way to suppress that emotion, that anger, you know, and the feelings, you know, that the feelings of anger and hatred. And they use one, the techniques to suppress another, and it doesn't work like that, you know. They say sometimes you have to go back to the cause of the source. The feelings of anger, the feelings of these unpleasant feelings, you know, and where is it coming from, you know? Because anger itself, hatred itself, actually is the unwholesome root, but it's not the source, you know. The source is come from that one thing, the craving, you know, that give rise to that anger. So that's that. Whenever that sometimes that if we don't know how to deal with our, especially this anger skillfully, sometimes can be very harmful to ourselves and to others. It's quite dangerous because if you suppress it, you keep suppressing, and to a point you can't suppress, you explode, and it's just a little trigger. And that moment you just, you know, when we overcome by anger, that moment we just insane. We just completely, you know, we lost our mind, you know, that moment, you know. They say sometimes that when the moment that we are angry, you know, so no one can talk to us, isn't it? Everyone. So, sometimes like when in a bad mood, you know, everything's wrong. Everybody, you know, you can't talk. When you're in a good mood, everything looks good, isn't it? The person that you hate most, also that looks better, you know. So actually, this is how, you know, that's why sometimes if you're not careful, you keep it building. We suppress it. And when you suppress it, it's become counterproductive. You reinforce that. Actually, the feelings of anger become stronger. That's why it's important that we know how to skillfully to deal with our anger. If we are not skillful to deal with our anger, actually, you know, that is quite dangerous, you know, if we don't know how to, we can't control our temper. Because you see, sometimes that, you know, sometimes people just kill someone just out of, you know, just little small thing, you know, just some. I think last year there was an incident happened. Someone not happy with the hairstyle and arguing with the hairdresser, and it ended up there was accidentally he killed the hairdresser, but because of the hairstyle. And then some people might think that why so stupid. Why, you know, just a small thing, you can grow, isn't it, your hair? Your hairstyle is not nice, it's okay. Your hair is going to grow. Why people do that? Because sometimes it's not about the hairstyle. Sometimes when you build up your anger, you build up that emotion to a point that, you know, that you can't take anymore. So anything, someone said to you something that has become a trigger. It's just like it's not about that person. And then any person comes to you, they become the trigger, like the person who lit the bomb. And it just explodes. So that's why to be able to really, you know, to overcome that, it's not by suppressing, it's not trying to get rid of that. Because the Buddha said, like, true, cultivate some of the qualities, you know, the antidotes, you know, for the antidotes to counteract of these qualities, of these unwholesome qualities. So, and you cannot just try to get rid of it. You have to develop some, cultivate these qualities to counteract, the antidotes to counteract this hatred and anger. So you can't try to use willpower and try not to, you know, try to push it away or try to suppress it. It's become counterproductive. You know, sometimes we even got upset with people that, you know, like in one, the Buddha said that, you know, if you flare up to be at someone who's angry, so he said, if you flare, you will make it worse. You make it worse when you flare up at someone is angry. So whoever, do not flare up at someone who's angry, win a battle that's hard to win. So that's why sometimes, like, you know, that we when someone angry with us, and then we got more angry with that person because the person angry with us. I remember many, many years ago when I was in Thailand. And then after Dana, I had lots of work to do, you know, in the kitchen. And usually most people, they don't want to do the job that is mopping the floor is the hardest thing to do. Because the way we mop the floor is not just like a mop, like here so nicely you can just squeeze, you know. It's like a stripper is quite long like this, and they have a long handle, and then use those foot towel is so big, you know, that you have to wrap around the stripper and you have to mop the floor. And then we have to ring it because it's so big, the tower is hard job. And no one wanted to do that. No one wanted to do that. Everybody just wanted to choose to sweep. And on top of that, they just sweep and they're just gone, you know. Then no one doing it. Then I ended up, I did that, you know. So when I went along, when I went around to try to mop the floor, and when I pick up those foot tower, it's all sand. Then I had to sweep again, you know, then I have to sweep again. And when I sweep again, and then the next day when the lady saw me sweep the floor again, she got so upset with me, you know, and she said in Thai, you know, she said, "What the hell?" That means, "I sweep already, why you sweep again?" Because I can't mop because it's full of sand, you know, and then the under the table, you know, I have to sweep again in order to mop, you know. And then she tried to convince me, you know, and not you don't have to mop the floor every day, you know, you mop it twice a week, you know. Then after Dana, we can quickly go and see the Ajahn, so we discuss, we talk about Dharma. I said, "No, I'm in the kitchen, you know, dining, the floor is so, it's so sticky, you know, with the food, you know." I said, you have to clean every day. I said, "I can't do it, you know." But I must confess, at the beginning, when everybody ran away, I was a bit upset, you know. So I mop, and then my mind go on and on and on, you know. I have a long admonition, you know, about how they should behave, you know. How come they do that, you know. How come they run away? How come they don't do this? Why I do this? And on and on and on and on. Then I realized that suddenly I just stopped. I said, "Stop, shut up." I said, "If you don't want to do it, you leave it, you run, you go away. But if you, you know, but I can't just leave things and not to do it." So then I told myself, "If you want to do it, so you just shut up." Just shut up, you know. You either leave everything, you go, or you shut up, you do it. And then I realized that I started to change my way of thinking. So I was thinking, okay, well, You know, so I say, well, you know, if I go to gym, you know, I have to pay for it. So now I'm doing this exercise, so I got it for free. Then I feel better. Then I was thinking, and then I got more merits, you know, and other people, they're not hard up, you know, to have more merits, but I'm hard up for that, okay, I do it. Actually, when I change that, I feel much better, and then realize that actually, just doing it actually is nothing, but the mind go on and on, feeling upset and angry, right? Like, why everybody run away and leaving all this job for me to do, you know? On top of that, they still get upset with me, you know, by doing all the work. And then this lady, she tried to convince me because to not to mop the floor every day because of make her look bad. That, like, she's lazy, I'm hardworking. So she tried to convince me not to mop the floor every day, but I didn't listen to her. Then the next day, and she saw me, I just said hello, you know, I smiled, I said hello. And she looked at me, she turned her head like that. Look at me. Then I was thinking, what's wrong? I haven't done anything, but she angry with me. So then for to me, it's like, it's not my business, isn't it? If you, like the Buddha said, live happily, not hating those who hate you. You know, dwell, you know, with free of hatred, you know. It's other people can get upset with me, but actually, it's none of your business, isn't it? So then I was thinking, I was happy that I was not affected by her, even though I haven't done anything, but she got very angry with me. But most people, when someone angry with you, is that, oh, you think you're angry with me, I'm also not happy with you too, you know. This is how normally, you know, that we think that you're angry at me, I'm also not happy with you, you know. This is, but sometimes that other people angry with us is their business. So no point that we got upset, we got flare up, you know, with that person, because then we suffer. So we don't have to be responsible for the other person's action. You know, this is that person's business. Just recently, someone also said to me the same thing. Like, you know, someone got upset with her and then she got unhappy. And then she was so unhappy. Then I told her that next time, keep reminding yourself, if people angry with you, you just keep telling yourself that none of my business. Is that person's problem? It's not your problem. They get upset with you, angry with you, it's their problem, it's not your problem. So then you feel better, you know. So I said, it's true, because sometimes, like, you know, we can't help it, you know. Sometimes that they don't, because we cannot expect everyone likes us. That you're bound to have someone that dislikes us, they're not happy with us, and we can't do anything about that. So then we got upset because of the other person upset with us. Then actually we create more suffering for ourselves, and then actually anyone want to get upset with us, it's their problem, it's not our problem. So you just remind yourself that it's not my problem. So they say sometimes that if we don't know how to skillfully deal with our anger, you know, then actually it can be quite dangerous, you know. And sometimes we think that, you know, sometimes we think that we wouldn't do such a thing, you know. As long as the underlying tendency is there, the greed is there, you know, hatred is there, you know. Given the condition, it just flare up. It's just like the weed is waiting for the water, it's waiting, it's just water, it just pops up, isn't it? Sometimes it's there. It's just that not being triggered. So that's like, as long as the underlying tendency is there, you know, then, you know, that any time, you know, that it's just, you know, There's like sometimes how to skillfully to deal with that, you know. So we have to deal with certain qualities. And of course, like sometimes people deal with anger with they have a sandbag and they're hitting the sandbag the way to release the emotion. But of course, you don't release our emotion onto the other person, and that is quite harmful to ourselves and to others, you know. And then it reminds me that, you know, there's people use all sorts of ways to deal with their emotions. Some people, they like to go shopping, like to do, you know, like, I mean, if you do exercise, you know, and I think hitting the sandbag is good when you're, you know, some people will scream, you know. Actually, you feel much better. You have to release that emotion. But most people tend to suppress. Actually, it's very dangerous when you suppress. To a point you cannot suppress, it's very dangerous. Sometimes we need to release that, but in a skillful way, you know. So that's why some people have a different way to deal with that to release that emotion. Some people will find a place that no one that will scream, and some people just sit with that emotion, just to feel how it feels like when you get angry, when you get upset. You feel all your bodily feeling, sensation, you feel the heat in your body, you feel the tightness, you know. You just sit there, be with that, you know. But if we react, actually we're feeding it. So that's why sometimes people use all sorts of way, you know. And I remember there was a joke that was this guy is a very angry person. He's always shouted at his wife and screaming at him and yell at her, you know. And then, but the wife is always like, just keep calm and stay cool, never react to him, you know. Then he was so surprised. He said, you know, how can you do that? How can, you know, you never react, you know, you always keep calm and stay cool when I'm yelled at you, I shouted at you. So then he said, oh, how can you do that? He said, oh, whenever you get angry, you're mad at me, I go to clean toilet. So he asked, then he said, so what to do with that? You clean toilet. She said, because I use a toothbrush to clean the toilet. So this is not recommended, okay? people use all sorts of things, but sometimes it's not skillful. When it's not skillful, actually it's, you know, counterproductive, you know, it's counterproductive. It really involves that. That's why sometimes we have to see that the source of that is come from craving. Craving, because whenever that feelings of unpleasant feelings arises, when you feel anger, agitation, irritation, that is unpleasant. Then that wanting, not wanting these feelings arises. We don't want this. So we try to push it away. So because we don't want it. You know, that is why, that's why there's anger. Alright, then we feel that the feeling of anger arises because of it's unpleasant. Or someone says something that is not pleasing to our ears, or someone said not sitting to us, you know, or someone did something that we are not happy, you know, then we don't feel good, you know. And whenever there is context, feeling arises, either pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So whenever it's unpleasant, the first thing our reaction is, we don't want it, isn't it? Not wanting. So not wanting is still wanting. Craving to be and craving not to be is still crave, because you crave not to be like this. I crave not to have this feeling. So even sometimes it's pleasant, and it give rise to greed. You want more and more. But at the end, you know, when you get what you crave for it, you want it so much, and then you can't get what you want. Again, it leads to anger. So anger actually is not the source. It's not the cause. It's not the problem. That's why we have to deal with the craving, the wanting. Wanting not to be, we don't like it, we dislike it because of that. That's why we have to look at that, you know. So that's why to counteract craving, wanting more, actually, that's practice generosity, actually is the antidote to counteract that craving. Because generosity is giving. It's the other way around. It's not wanting, but practice generosity, you know. Because a lot of people, they think that I have anger, I should practice metta. But a lot of people, when they practice metta, they got more angry. Because they try to use a, may I be well and happy, may I be well, and maybe they're really holding their fist, may I be well and happy, you know. And they got more upset. And because they try to use that, may I be well and happy, to suppress that emotion. But actually you reinforce that, it doesn't work like that. And you're not really giving anything. A true loving kindness actually is, you're opening the door of your heart, you allow people to come to you. It's melting the barrier between ourselves and others. It's not that we are giving something to others, because metta is goodwill. There is a you know, the opposite of ill will. Anger is ill will. So good will, you wishing yourself well. So may I be well and happy, but yes, sincerely wishing yourself well. But sometimes a lot of people use that, you know, like use that as a way to suppress, you know, to try to get rid of this feelings of the anger, you know, the feelings of the anger and hatred. And it doesn't work that way because you don't practice properly. So that's why sometimes it's good that you sincerely wish yourself well. And the most difficult part that to try to send loving kindness to others, if the one that you like is easier, isn't it? Especially the person that you dislike is the most difficult part. Because especially, you know, if some, you have people that have been abused by the husband and they themselves know that to carry that anger, the hatred towards her husband is not something that is good for her. But she said to me, it's difficult. I can't really send loving kindness to him because the moment the all sorts of all this, you know, how he abused her, it all pops out. She said, I can't do that. So I told her, I said, you don't have to send loving kindness towards your ex-husband. I said, you just send loving kindness towards yourself. May I have no hatred towards him. May I be able to not to hate him. May I have no hatred towards him. It's good enough. I said, don't try to do that. Then another way to practice generosity, giving, sharing, caring. Because giving is opposite of craving. Because the anger is come from craving. Because we, the one thing not to be, not to have this. Even something that is pleasant. So when we can't get the one, it still leads to anger. So that's why anger itself is just the unwholesome root. It's not the cause. It's not the source of our suffering. It's come from the craving not to be. So that's why when we used to say your attachment towards that, actually the attachment is more like a fuel. When we react to our anger, you know, hatred, actually we are adding more fuel. So we keep adding more fuel and the fire will keep burning. So when we stop reacting, the fire is still burning. They say sometimes people think that they have no progress. It's not that you have no progress. Of course, you still have anger. The anger is still there. But you can see the intensity of the anger become weaker because you don't react. So that's why you cannot get rid of it because you just stop reacting. You stop feeding it, you stop, you know, you stop putting in more fuel. Then the fire becomes smaller and smaller. Eventually, run out of fuel, it stops. So it's a gradual training, very slow, you know. But you can actually decide. Sometimes I always tell people, I always ask people, look, you look back, how you feel like a few years ago and now. Maybe now you have less anger. That is a progress. You know, maybe sometimes things upset you for days, now upset you for a few hours, you know, but it's the anger is still there. I said, don't expect. A lot of people expect that it's not there. Of course, it's still there. But it becomes manageable, you know. It's a slow process. Each time, you know, each time we don't react to that and then it keep reducing, eventually it stops by itself. It's just like a ball. If it stops kicking the ball will still spin. But eventually the ball becomes slower and slower because no more new energy because we don't kick it anymore. And eventually the ball will stop. So that's why it's a very slow process. It's a gradual, little by little. So that's why the patience is important. One of the qualities that, you know, that to develop as actually patience and tolerance. Have you ever noticed when people are the people are very impatient, they tend to get angry very easily, isn't it? Impatient. That's why sometimes one of the way to help, you know, actually to develop this quality, patience and tolerance. Because a lot of people think that being tolerance, being patient, you know, is many people think that, you know, is a weakness because you give in, you're just tolerating, you know. Actually, If you truly have the patience and tolerance, actually, it's a strength. It's a sign of strength. The strength that there is a deep ability to become really firm and not overwhelmed by any adverse situation or condition. You're not affected by that. You just okay. You just stay. You can just keep calm and stay cool when you're patient. Because actually, patient is you have to. You come from wisdom because you understand that. You understand. You understand the cause and effect. You understand. Because come from that understanding. And then, if you're truly patient, because a lot of people, they think that that tolerance, they think that that patience is more come from the willpower. They try to use that willpower. Okay, I try to tolerate. You don't use your willpower. Actually, to develop this quality, first of all, you need to slow down first. Slow down because we are being impatient. You get angry very easily. So first of all, slow down first. So whatever you do, you slow down. Practice present moment awareness. Bring the mind, you know, just very patiently, you know. Whenever, bring your mind back to present moment, keep your mind present, stay present. So because we very easy, because then this is how you start to develop, you have more space. Because sometimes we out of habit, we just react impulsively, then we are feeding that emotion. We're feeding our anger, we're feeding hatred. So that sometimes we have to stay, you know, that to develop the clarity. How to develop the clarity? That is the practice, present moment awareness, being stay aware. You know, stay this present aware that what's going on. You know, then the first of all, you have to slow down. Because if you don't slow down, we out of habit, we react, isn't it? And it's very difficult. It's just too fast. Sometimes, like, you know, immediately, you know, you just react and then we just, like automatic pilot, you know, we just react and it's just like a default setting. But then first of all, you have to slow down first. That's why whatever you do, try to slow down. Deliberately slow down your pace, you know, when you get up in the morning, give yourself a little bit of time to slow down and to develop these qualities of patience and tolerance. And because if it's come from the understanding of things that is impermanent, because you know that whatever unpleasant feelings arises is bound to subside. Because you come with that wisdom, you come from the understanding. That's why it's very difficult to become really patient and tolerant if you really have no clarity and you have no wisdom. Because sometimes we try to use willpower, but the tolerance and patience come from wisdom. Because come from the understanding of whatever arises, actually is not going to stay. You know that it just arises and will pass away. But because of, without that wisdom, without the clarity, so we want it to go away immediately. Then we try to use willpower and actually it's counterproductive. They say, if you truly, you know, practicing patience and tolerance, actually you become very peaceful and very calm. It's not that agitated, because many people try to use willpower that, okay, I try to tolerate, okay, I'm now very angry, so okay, I try to tolerate that, you know. It's not using willpower. It's come from the clarity, to the understanding of that, to see that what's leading up, you know, that you see the suffering of that, you see that is everything is just arising and pass away. Then when you have that understanding, then actually it doesn't matter at the end of the day whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. It still go away, isn't it? But we think that we only want to have pleasant feelings, pleasant experience. We don't want unpleasant feelings, unpleasant experience. We don't want. But even pleasant feelings is also won't stay. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, isn't it? But we think that we can keep the pleasant feelings. We can get rid of the unpleasant feelings. We think that we're in control. Actually, we are not. You know. So we can't control. So we understand that we cannot control. And with that understanding, we just patiently waiting in the moment and just let it pass. It will pass. And you just stay. Because sometimes we identify whatever experience as me and mine that causes more suffering. It's just okay. You know, that if you truly practice patience and tolerance, actually forgiveness comes naturally. Because sometimes like we got so upset with ourselves, you know, we even can't forgive ourselves, you know. It's like, how come, you know, I still have anger, why I still angry with people, and then we feel terrible, and then we beating ourselves up, you know. That forgiveness comes naturally if you truly have that qualities. So the qualities of patience, you know, this actually you have to come from the wisdom. You have to have the wisdom aspect, because the wisdom aspect is come from the clarity. You'll be able to see things as they truly are. So that's how to develop this quality. So you cannot get rid of it. You have to develop these qualities. Patience, you know, like generosity, giving, you know, rather than, because generosity itself is an expression, is an expression of kindness and compassion, because you give, you care, you share. You know, that part of that is also kindness. So they say, is it because anger is come from craving? So when we give, is opposite of, counteract of craving. So we give. So that's why sometimes a lot of people try to use willpower to get it. It doesn't work. So you have to look at where is the cause and how to practice, how to develop some quality. So you develop these qualities. And then you develop contentment. Because when the mind is being troubled by this dissatisfaction and discontent. Isn't that when you have this dissatisfaction and discontent, how do you feel? You know? You don't feel happy, isn't it? If you're upset, angry. So when we develop that contentment, just happy, because when we content, you know, then whenever we crave, the mind moves. When we content, the mind becomes still. When we have contentment, the mind becomes peaceful and calm. So, have you ever seen someone peaceful and calm that got upset easily? No, isn't it? So that said, if you prevent anger arise, then you just stay peaceful and calm. So contentment, because I remember early days, you know, and my understanding of contentment is that, oh, I should be content with little, and then I'm more into ascetic practice, and then I've come with a lot of judgmental mind, like swing from one end to another, you know, and then to me, like, I started to judge others, like, you know, like, oh, you know, oh, when I was in Thailand, everything so simple and we don't have honey, and I come to Australia, it's so luxurious, we have honey, you know, because in Thailand honey is something that is luxurious to us, you know. Then I feel really, it's really bothered me. Like, I find that, oh, it's not, you know, I find that, oh, it's so difficult to be contented in Australia, because we have so well supported and we have all the nice things. It's also luxurious. We have this honey that we can't get, you know, we have all this dark chocolate. We have this is a lot, you know. Then I think that I blame that, you know, I can't practice content, you know, I can't have contentment because of it's so well supported. And it's really bothered me. Wow! Even I had that intention of, oh, maybe this is not the place for me to practice. Maybe I must go back. Maybe I should go back to Thailand again. I into a more ascetic practice, because the place there we said, you know, that usually my teacher said that, you know, we don't ask for tea. If we have tea, we have tea. We have coffee, we have coffee. We don't have coffee, we just don't have coffee. Because it's not a necessity. You can only ask for rice, you can only ask for sugar, you can only ask for salt, but not honey, you know? Things like that, all the necessity. Other is not a necessity, you shouldn't ask, so we don't ask, you know? So when I come here, so I started to judge, and then it bothered me for a while. And then one rain, retreat, then you were asked to do some homework, to study the suttas, and then to study certain qualities. Then my qualities that I study is contentment. Then I read the suttas from the Kassapa. He's the one that is utmost in ascetic practice. Then I read the suttas. He said that he is content with whether it's superior or inferior. Then I certainly, when I read that line, I realized that I was discontent with something good. Actually, it's still discontent, isn't it? I think that we shouldn't, because the idea of like contentment that you have to be things that is, you know, that is inferior, or I should be content with little. No, even it's true, and then I become like discontent with something good, you know. Then I realized, oh, actually you can practice contentment anywhere. I'm blaming that because it's too much, we have so well supported, then very difficult to come. But even with someone that is really practicing, you know, when for Kassapa, he's the one who's utmost in ascetic practice. He, even someone offers something that is really good, superior things, he's still content with that. But because I come from the idea of everything has to be inferior, then I content with inferior things, that means I content. Then something that is good, then I feel bad. I feel that, oh, I'm a monastic, I shouldn't have this, you know. But then I become like discontent with something good. So there's a, then that actually that is really that understanding. And then when that understanding, this is how that when that moment that wisdom arises, that you have the understanding, actually I, that moment I really let go. I said, okay, I get, oh yeah, why I'm discontent with something good. And that actually I really let go of that. Because that time I still have planning to go back to Thailand. And that moment actually I let go of that going back, because I think that the place is not suitable because of being well supported. It depends on how you relate, isn't it? It's not what we receive, you know. If it is, oh, you know, it's just, to me, like, it's just appreciate, you know, rather than you just appreciate with the generosity of the lay people, you know, how that's, and then actually you develop that qualities of appreciation, gratitude, and it leads to contentment. You're just so grateful to have whatever, to have all these things, and then it just inspire you how generous other people is, you know, how other people, you know, being so generous. Sometimes I find so inspired when the volunteers come to help, you know, come to the monastery to help, and then when I thank them, they say, oh, thank you for giving me the opportunities. When I said thank you, you know, helping us, you know, then the person thanked me for giving them the opportunity to help. And I find that it's very inspiring. So sometimes that, you know, when this is how, when you think of all the good things of other people done, you feel happy, isn't it? Imagine if you think of the horrible things of other people have done, your mind becomes so depressed, you know, and then you feel so negative, you know, and then it is a good way, you know, to brainwash ourselves, you know. So that's why, and I realized that, and the moment I realized that, oh yes, I was discontent with good things, and I dropped. And I have no, that's why I'm still here. If not, I already left. You know? And I was so discontent. But I don't see that. Then I was thinking that I want to practice contentment. But I think I was so discontent, you know? And then it takes me a while, a few months to see that, and really bothered me for a while, you know? Then actually the moment when I see that, I feel, you know, I feel like, you feel relief. You feel that there's freedom, that there's something that I'm attached to, because I attach to the idea of what is contentment, you know, attachment to the idea. Then the moment when I let go, I feel the freedom. You feel so nice, you feel relief, and you feel so light. And that's why I continue to stay. So that's why sometimes you have to develop this quality, and this is how you develop this quality. And those, if you don't feed it, it won't grow. And this is how you, this will slowly eliminate as you, these qualities grow. you know. But because you cannot get rid of that, you know. So it's just that you just starve it, you know, like for example, if you plant the seed that is not very good, if you stop watering, you stop putting fertilizer, it won't grow. Then you try to nurture those that seed that is good, and you let it just grow very fast. You have to cultivate that. You can't just try to suppress or try to run away or try to get rid. You can't get rid. So you have to develop these qualities. Another qualities that you can develop is acceptance. Because acceptance is the opposite of rejection. When we not wanting is rejection, the ill will. So the more you try to push it away, the worse. Because you are reinforcing that. So you come to a place of acceptance. It's okay. This is how I feel. Okay, I feel angry. You know, this is how I feel. Like just recently someone said to me that, you know, that this person that tried to forget someone. The harder the person try, the more, you know. I said, don't try so hard, you know. It's okay. You know, you want to forget someone. If this person keep popping up, you say, oh, well, okay, it's still there. Yeah, you accept that it's still there. You know, okay, it still come and visit me, okay. And then it will just subside. But because we like to fight, we try to fight, we try to push it away. Don't fight. Just come to acceptance itself is letting go. It's okay that I feel that way. It's okay I feel angry. It's okay that I feel grumpy. You know, because the moment you acknowledge that, you recognize that, you acknowledge that, you know, and then accept and you forgive, then let go. It's okay that I feel this way. But because of we think that it's terrible, that we shouldn't get angry. No, only fully enlightened or non-returner, the third stage of enlightenment, you have no anger. You know, before you reach that level, we all to certain depends. We have certain to a certain level of that hatred is still there. So not sometimes we have very high expectation of ourselves. We think that, oh, now we have practiced meditation, now I'm a Buddhist, I shouldn't get angry. You know, that is not really realistic. And we have very high standard, you know, we have to start at where we at. Even first stage of enlightenment, Sotapanna, you still have, of course, the anger is not the gross type, you know. And once returner, you still have anger. But the anger is a more subtle type of anger. So that's what I told, but some people said to me, I still feel angry. I said, what do you expect? You know, if you don't have these defilements, you're not here. You know, you're already enlightened. You're not enlightened yet. Like sometimes people think, I'm hopeless, I have no progress, and then they get upset with themselves, beating themselves. You know, how many years I practice, why I'm still angry, you know. So it's okay if you just accept that, okay, I'm angry. Actually, it stopped, isn't it? It's just, okay, yes, this is how I feel. And just to feel, you know, just to stay, to feel, okay. But then you get angry. So you just pay attention to your body. Okay, when I'm angry, I feel there's a lot of tightness there. I feel hot. I feel burning. So you just put your attention. But for us, like, we go into the thinking about why we get angry, why we get upset. And then we make up the whole, you know, we judge ourselves that how bad we are. You know, the whole lot of story talk about why we get angry and then how terrible we are, that because we get upset, we get angry. No, we just accept that, yes, I'm not enlightened, I'm not there yet. You know, so the moment actually accepting itself is letting go. It's okay that I still have defilements. It's okay that I feel that way. It's okay that I still make mistakes. But the more you fight, actually, it's, you reinforce that, it's a gradual training. It's just like the Buddha said, you know, one by one, little by little, moment by moment, a wise man removes his impurities as a smith removes tarnish from silver. It's just little by little, this is how our defilements are impurities, you know. And actually we know, that's why I always ask people to look back, you know, a few years before and a few years after, how do you feel now? So, You know, if things that used to bother you for weeks now bother you for days, how much suffering you have already lessened, you know. So you look at it that way, you know. Then actually we have progress. It's just like someone asked the Buddha, how do I know whether I have any progress in my practice? The Buddha said that, you know, that it's just like that you can't just tell every day, but it's just like you use and the X that you're using every day. Then one day, the whole handle come out. Actually, that we have progress, but it's because it's a very gradual that we can't see it. So until one day when the penny drops, you know, when we have the wisdom, when the insight arises, like sometimes, poof, you just see it, you know, and then you just, but actually the moment you see it, you drop. You realize, oh, you don't do that anymore. You know, you realize, oh, this is what I'm doing. Oh, I'm discontent. That is the wisdom, that is the insight. The moment you see, it will stop by itself. You know. So that's why you have to develop that. So it's just not to worry so much how long it's going to take. You know. Just take it one step at a time. One day at a time. Just little by little. And eventually, you'll get there. So I offer you for Dhamma reflection. May this teaching be a benefit to all of you. So any questions or comments? Yes.
Ajahn Hasapana, thanks for the wonderful talk. Yeah. You know, when I listen to your talk, what came to my mind is the Buddha's three poisons, you know, he mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Greed, hatred or anger, mm-hmm. and delusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anger is a poison, okay? So anger is a negative poison energy which comes from our human ego, the strong ego, you know, from the mind. Yeah. So it's hard to tell a person what you've been telling them, said, you know, to overcome the things, okay? So it's only when the person because when you're angry, the person releases negative, like poisons, no? It's only when the person gets hurt, you know, through sickness or not, okay? And then then only can we tell them, you know, okay? Or when they're searching for an answer to help themselves, no? Then when we tell them what, you know, from the teaching this thing, then can it take effect? What do you think? Other than that, it's difficult to tell them because their ego is so strong, you know, they are right, you know.
Mm. Yes, because sometimes when your mind is so full, you can't, anything can't go in. Mm. That's why I used to say, if you think that you know, and you really cut yourself off, you won't learn. So if you think that you don't know, actually you learn a lot. Because you think that you don't know. But if you think that you know, you don't have to learn because you know everything. So that's why sometimes it's wonderful. I like to share with that I think I've been talking that a few times, you know, that if the one of the Dharma talk that I listened to, you know, the first time I went to this Dalai Lama, his talk. And with the Q&A session, someone asking questions, he said, I don't know. And I was thinking, so wonderful. I find that was a really insight for me, that I was so inspired that the words I don't know, I was thinking, wow, you know, you don't have to know everything. It's okay that we don't know. We don't have to pretend that we know. So then actually, you learn more. If you think that you know everything, you don't learn. So anything that we don't know, then we learn more. So we don't have to, it's okay that we don't know. We don't have to pretend that we know, you know. So that's why I find that it's very, to me, that I don't know, it's a very deep, profound Dharma to me. You know, sometimes it's not come from those words that, you know, so flowery, you know, and sounds really great, it sounds profound, but it's just empty, means nothing. And yeah, if a person not receptive, it's difficult to tell them. Yeah. They say sometimes I don't bother to say anything also, because I know that, you know, whatever you said, the person is not going to listen. And that's why you have to practice, you have to, that's why we said, when the student ready, the teacher appear.
Mm.
Because sometimes when your mind, you have the clarity, your mind become receptive, you will, you can, you, you, you get it. But if you're not ready, no matter how many times you listen, you come from right ear, you go out this side. They say you have two ears, you know, come from one side, you go out the other side. But when you're ready, you know, they say sometimes that things that we read many times and we listen many times, we don't get it. But one day we get it, you know, because of our practice. And we develop more and more clarity when we are more ready and more receptive. Then you can get it.
I think also through some suffering too then. We need to be, how do I say, punished in a way too, you know, to wake ourselves up.
We don't have to look for suffering. We don't have to look for suffering in order to see suffering, you know. It's not like that. It's just a chance that you don't practice patience and go near to the stove that, you know, oh, it's hot, I have to be patient, I have to tolerate, you know. We don't find, look for trouble, look for suffering. It's just like whatever we experience, whatever we relate to things, that how our emotion, our senses, our ego, that trigger, that causes the suffering. But we don't have to purposely
look
for suffering.
But Buddha was saying, he teaches suffering and the end of suffering.
Yeah.
So we have the experience that, sorry to say that, a little bit of discomfort, you know. And then only can we realize that, only can we make that effort to want to sort of end the suffering. And the discomfort.
The problem is, most people very forgetful, you know, when they suffer, they thought, oh, I'm suffer, I don't want to be reborn again, you know. Then after a while, things go smooth, good, they're forgotten. It's not that easy, that because only when, it's very difficult to, the Buddha said, the nibbita, that turning away, no longer interested in the world. Only when you see things as they truly are. As long as you're not able to see things as they truly are, it's very difficult. You have the true nibbita. Sometimes the turning away, because you know that they have to come from the wisdom that as long as the five hindrances is there, we are not be able to perceive as they truly are. Perceive things as they truly are, because we have the five hindrances there. So that's why that level of wisdom is not the small insight. It's not like, oh yeah, pain, of course I know that I'm pain, you know, I suffer. And you know, it's just like when sometimes people think that they see suffering, actually the level of suffering you see is not, it's on a deeper level, you know. It's not on the superficial level. But it's okay, it doesn't matter, we just keep going. Okay, any more questions or comments? Okay. How can we help others from Spain? How can we help others close to us with their anger without becoming emotional punching bags? Punching me is not bad. You still can punch back. At least you didn't punch that person. You still release your anger. And actually it takes time. Unless you have developed the clarity, you develop that, you know, that peace and calm, then you don't react. Before you develop, you have the qualities, you have the peace and calm. Of course, sometimes we still get emotional. It's just normal. Sometimes don't have too high expectation of ourselves. So punching back is good. So it's okay. At least you didn't punch that person. And sometimes like people think that we shouldn't cry. Actually, crying is also a way to release our emotion. So it's nothing wrong. And I think it's really not very good, like especially, you know, I don't know, but like from my background, you know, like the Chinese background, like Asian, that they always said that men shouldn't cry. You know, a man shouldn't cry. You shed blood but not cry. You shouldn't cry. But actually, it's no good. Actually, crying itself is good. That's why the tears there is the purpose of having tears. You know, actually, it's release. You know, that's why you see the life, the span of women is longer compared to men, because women just cry. You know, release. No, actually, crying is good. So I don't judge. You know, I don't think that is. Men is also human. So there's nothing wrong with men crying. I don't know. It's just because of the conditioning, the brought up. We just been conditioned, been told, you know, that you shouldn't cry. You know, and then they suppress that emotion. Actually, crying itself is good to release that emotion. So it's okay. You know. And punching bags is okay. There's a way to release our emotion. Of course, it takes time to really remove not to react to, you know, to the angers, you know, especially our loved ones, you know, the close to us with the anger. So maybe you said the other method that I just mentioned just now, you just remind yourself that it's okay, it's none of my business. That they're angry is their business, it's not my business. And punching bags is good. So Northern Ireland, what advice would you give to someone feeling pressure and become angry and stressed in the workplace? Sometimes it's good that a workplace there, when you feel pressure and you become angry and stressed, actually you can just stop for a moment, because this is a very good exercise, and many people said that they do this, they find that it really works for them. You just stop for a moment, you just breathing in stress and breathing out peace. You make peace with that stress, you make peace with that, you know, anger. You're breathing in anger and breathing out peace. So that, because this, and this is you just keep calming yourself, you know. And you can do it anywhere, you know, outside meditation, anywhere. You just do the breathing exercise, breathing in anger, breathing out peace, breathing in anger. Because they have an imprint in your mind that, you know, that when you say breathing in anger, you embrace it. It's okay. This is how I feel. Then breathing out peace, you make peace with that. So and then they will stop you from, because when we're feeling angry and stressed, you know, then the mind started. We then thinkings will arise. We start to go into thoughts, and then we will think about that. But this is stop you from going into thinking about it. You just, you know, breathing in, you know, stress, breathing in anger, and breathing out peace. So make peace with that. Learn to make peace with every situation, every moment that we're in. Stay present, just make peace. So it's important that we make peace with every single moment that in every situation that we're in. Make peace with that. It's okay that we feel that way. So how do we address self-hate, especially when we feel we deserve it? Is there shame? Self-hate is that, yes, yeah, so address self-hate, that actually you just learn to appreciate yourself. So whatever the things that anything that, you know, you practice generosity, then after we, you know, when we do something good, we try to share with others, and we reflect on the good things that we have done. So that you learn to appreciate yourself, and you have done something that is really good, you know, and something wholesome, and you just reflect on that, wow, you know, and reflect on your sila is also very good, you know. If you keep your five precepts, and then you reflect on the five precepts, you reflect on your sila, you know. You just, oh yeah, I'd be able to do that, you know. The first, you reflect, you know, you contemplate the first sila, oh, not harming, oh yeah, I'd be able to do that, you know. And then the second and the third, you keep reflecting, contemplating, then you see, you feel good about yourself and learn to appreciate yourself. So, And then when we feel deserve it, I think because we identify ourselves, we come from the three conceit the Buddha said, that I'm good, I'm bad, I'm worse, I'm really worse. Like I'm a good, I'm better, I'm as good, I'm worse. So because we identify ourselves that we are worse, so we don't deserve love, we deserve the hate. That's why we have, it come from the conceit, the sense of self, how we identify ourselves. And it's all come from the conditioning. Sometimes come from, maybe from childhood, that sometimes even maybe from previous life. You come from, you know, the conditioning, you've been told that you're not good enough. Then you believe that, you've been conditioned. So then this is how we identify who we are, who we take ourselves to be. And we don't like this self, that's why we have this self-hatred. Because we identify ourselves as terrible, you know, it's worse, hopeless. This is terrible. We identify ourselves as bad, as terrible. That's why we don't like this self. That's why we have this self-hatred. So it's come from the sense of self, the ego. So because we identify, that's why again you have to come back, go back to the practice that we don't identify whatever experience as me and mine. Because we take all the experience, that all the feelings as me and mine, we take it personally, we identify this as me. So that's why to develop the perception of non-self is help. And is that shame? It's not really shame. It's more like the identity of who you are. You think that you're terrible, you're bad. That the identity of who we are, who we take ourselves to be. And it's come from the conditioning, is also come from being how we identify ourselves with our experience, and it's all, you know, it's come from conditioning, and it takes a bit of practice. So yeah, it's the self hate is come from the conceit, the three conceit, and the how you identify yourself. So any more questions or comments? No? So, okay. No question. Okay.
Aham sama sambuto bhagava bhutam bhagavantam adivate Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasam Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sangkang Namasam.